podcasting technology of normal is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than 500,000 Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
Distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Welcome to the most popular audio podcast regarding marijuana in all of America and all the world, featuring interviews with scientists, politicians, doctors, prohibition policy activists, regular cannabis consumers, musicians, and Normal staff and Normal's board of directors, along with music and comedy no other podcast can offer. You can always find out more about the show at our website, normalaudiostash.com. We're ending marijuana prohibition with education, one listener at a time. Welcome back to the Audio Stash today on this important day in marijuana history. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. We also have links to make secure online donations to National Normal on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Today, we're featuring part two of our special report on the National Commission on Marijuana and Drug Abuse, also known as the Schaefer Commission, who delivered their final report and recommendations on March 22, 1972. Normal has created a special webpage at normal.org to provide information related to the commission and links for more research. We'll also have links to individual interviews and Nixon tapes audio gathered for this series posted on that page as well. Our audio series is looking at this truly defining moment in American marijuana history. Because President Nixon and Congress at the time dismissed the recommendations of the Schaefer Commission, it created the modern criminal approach to marijuana use and possession. Yesterday, we explored the history of the Schaefer Commission and those who participated in it. In part two today, we'll discuss the White House reaction and the details of the Commission's recommendations to federally decriminalize marijuana. We'll hear again today from Keith Strupp and Dr. Thomas Ungerleiner. We'll also hear today from Chicago Tribune journalist Clarence Page. And new information from Alan St. Pierre, the executive director of Normal, about a poll conducted just this spring being released for the first time today, asking the public if they support the recommendations made 35 years ago. We'll also get the chance to actually listen to the White House on March 22, 1972. This is courtesy of the WhiteHouseTapes.org project at the Miller Center for Public Affairs. We'll hear that audio of actual conversations President Nixon had in the Oval Office with the chair of the commission, Raymond Schaefer, and his own White House policy team in private about decriminalizing marijuana. Some of this audio was previously not transcribed and was made available in digital form for the first time at our request. This will be an extended program today at just over 45 minutes. We're going to begin part two of our Schaefer Commission coverage with an editorial written by Paul Armentano, Normal's senior policy analyst. 35 years ago today, a congressionally mandated commission on U.S. drug policy did something extraordinary. They told the truth about marijuana. On March 22, 1972, the National Commission on Marijuana and Drug Abuse, chaired by former Pennsylvania Governor Raymond P. Schaefer, recommended Congress amend federal law so that the use and possession of pot would no longer be a criminal offense. State legislatures, the commission added, should do likewise. Quote, "The criminal law is too harsh a tool to apply to personal possession, even in the effort to discourage use," close quote, concluded the commission, which included several conservative appointees of then-President Nixon. They continued, quote, "It implies an overwhelming indictment of the behavior, which we believe is not appropriate. The actual and potential harm of use of the drug is not great enough to justify intrusion by the criminal law into private behavior, a step which our society takes only with the greatest reluctance. Therefore, the commission recommends that the possession of marijuana for personal use no longer be an offense, and that the casual distribution of small amounts of marijuana for no remuneration or insignificant remuneration no longer be an offense." Close quote. Nixon, true to his law and order roots, shelved the report, announcing instead that when it came to weed, quote, "We need, and I use the word, all-out war on all fronts." Close quote. For the last 35 years, that is indeed what we've had. We're going to return to Paul Armentano's editorial in a few moments. There has been a lot of speculation about why Nixon shelved his 1972 commission report, leading us to the unfortunate reality that we have today with marijuana in America. In order to further explore this topic, we had a wonderful resource to draw upon: audio recordings made in the Oval Office. Many presidents secretly or even openly recorded everything that happened within the Oval Office and kept those tapes in archives. As the years passed and the public and media learned of their existence, these tapes have been slowly declassified and made available to the public at large. Not only is this collection of recordings a priceless archive of American history, it's also a shining testament to our democracy and the concept of an open government. The tapes are being made available digitally online through the Presidential Recordings Project at the Miller Center for Public Affairs, the University of Virginia. They have a wonderful website with the tapes online at whitehousetapes.org. We contacted the Miller Center this winter and asked if there were any conversations available related to the Schaefer Commission. Some were available already, and others included conversations that took place 35 years ago today and had not been made available yet. With the help of the Miller Center and the Presidential Recordings Project, those conversations are now online. So right now, let's go to the White House in the 1970s. The audio quality is not perfect, and the microphones are not professionally placed. And in some of these particular moments, the participants are enjoying snacks and tea, creating some of the background noise involved. The first conversation we'll hear takes place as the commission itself drew to a close and began to craft their final report and recommendations. Raymond Schaefer is in the Oval Office with Jerome Jaffe and Bud Crowe, and President Nixon on September 9th, 1971.
I really feel concerned about this, Mr. Gray, and I know you have a foreign prosecutor. The difficulty with all commissions, you set them up, is that you're kind of stuck with them. You know, you've had so many strange commissions, and they're really screwing off in a different direction, and so forth, and I'm sure you want to. This is an area, of course, where we don't, and there's an awful lot of stuff. Dr. Jaffe is the first to admit it. However, I have extremely strong convictions, which I have expressed in a general change about the situation with the theme of marijuana in two areas. One, about its legalizing, which some would do. Second, however, and on the other hand, my attitude toward penalties on marijuana is very tough.
audio quality is certainly not perfect, but if you didn't catch it, here's a transcript of a section of what we just heard. Richard Nixon says, "I've talked to your district attorney and all the rest, and to take somebody that's smoking some of this stuff and put him into jail with a bunch of hardened criminals is silly." Schaefer says, "That's for sure. Jaffe, absolutely asinine." Back to Nixon. "There must be different ways to do it, and I think that's your experience, is it not?" Jaffe says, "Yes, sir." So Nixon understood that sending marijuana smokers to jail was senseless, it seemed. But he held on to a personal animosity towards those who advocated change with marijuana as well, as indicated here.
"Where there is a certain cash through this country, on the one hand, want to make smoking illegal, cigarette smoking illegal, and marijuana legal. But now, what we see in all the country, I mean, now that doesn't make any damn sense. I mean, probably if we really wanted to think of health and its best aspects, everything should do anything.
We have transcripts of the sections and individual MP3s of these tapes posted on our website today at normalaudiostash.com and in the normal.org Schaefer Commission Report jump page. This next section we'll hear features a portion of a conversation the same day with Raymond Schaefer, Bud Crowe, and Richard Nixon. In this section, Schaefer strongly advocates for a non-criminal approach, and Nixon also seems to understand that marijuana should not be categorized like other drugs.
"Not from the standpoint that you're going to accept what we say, but that here is a commission that is working on a problem that cuts across the cross-section of every family in the nation. Next to your economy, and incidentally, I think that what you've done in that regard is
we can hear, they certainly didn't like the word legalize, that much is clear, not even those on the commission. But On the fundamentals, everyone seems to be convinced that a criminal justice approach to marijuana possession is not the right path to take. So when Raymond Schaefer and the rest of the commission crafted their recommendations to Congress that there be federal decriminalization and that states back it up by enacting the same approach, he might have thought that that was a compromise that President Nixon and Congress could make to change marijuana policy. Schaefer himself seemed to have had a real education on the topic of marijuana enforcement that led him to this pragmatic decriminalized approach. But on March 22, 1972, the day the final report was issued, the White House distanced itself from the report. But in private that same day, Nixon had discussed it with his chief domestic policy advisor, John Ehrlichman. Let's listen to that conversation now, being broadcast for the first time right here on the Audio Stash.
What are you feeling about the standard report?
A lousy report.
Can we get an inch on it?
No, sir. No, sir. There is no place.
How are you able to sell a whole life to Lee Carter?
Well, I'll never understand what went on in that commission, because this guy, for instance, from Rockford, is
on a hard rock
fundraiser.
But what do you think about legalizing the use and possession of marijuana?
It's a crazy rule. And what they've done is they've come halfway. It's like liquor. There would be no law against consuming liquor at home, but there'd be a law against selling. Now, how in the hell can you make that work? He's not in any illusions, and Bud and I made it very clear to him before he came in here. So that he's not under no misapprehension. Well, and everything we've said out around, we all get asked about this all the time. And we always say there's a lot of daylight between us and that commission.
Suppose we try to find the meeting in the first Thursday on 9/12, what would you say?
Say, well, I've got the report.
I've
begun to read it, and I can see already that I'm going to have serious problems.
I have serious reservations about some of the recommendations, particularly reservations about legalizing the possession use of marijuana.
Yep.
I'm against that.
They don't expect you to agree with it.
Young people probably say we're all wrong and hopefully we're aggressive.
I'm not so sure about that.
Somebody was telling me, Bob Alderman, or somebody that in his kid's class, that, or were you talking to me, in his kid's class in school, that he was the only one that didn't use the stuff?
I really don't think it's quite like that anymore. Three years ago.
Don't say both friends.
Oh, yeah, that's Bob's younger boy.
He says it.
Well, I know, 3 years ago, it was much more of a problem in our kids' school than it is now. But
I don't know what it is, but I guess perhaps I'm not. A hopeless reactionary. I don't think so. But I can't understand. Of course, it's been morality. Just a question of God. But what will work? I am sure, as I sit here, if you make it acceptable and fashionable to use the goddamn thing, it will increase the use,
of course. And I don't think you're out of step.
I don't want to break the law.
I don't think you're out of step with most people. Now, you know, I spoke up at that Harvard Club in New York, Kennedy's deal.
Yes, whatever.
And there were older people and younger people, but all Harvards and all intellectuals. And I got a question from a long-haired kid about legalization of marijuana. And I said, "Price is against it." I want to tell you why he's against it. Two kinds of people in this country. There's the people in the drug scene, and there's the people out of the drug scene. And there isn't any little bit about it. You're either in it or you're out of it. And the people that are in it have all kinds of problems. And we think it's better they don't have those problems. So it's better if everybody stays out of the drug scene. So we don't have any place to draw the line except right there.
So they say, what about us?
Well, and then I got a big hooray from, I would say, far and away, the majority of the crowd. You get that question, and I'm in great shape on that, of course. Because I say, I agree completely with you. You know?
Yeah.
And that stops them then. But,
you say, well,
it had to be a matter of personal conviction with me. Yeah. I think that the same rule ought to apply to alcohol for a lot of the same reasons. You know, but it doesn't.
So
rather than compound the wrong,
that's right.
So that's wrong. You stay where you are. Give up your senses.
Isn't that what this is called?
Which is why
it is. As a matter of fact, alcohol is
sure. Why sure? It can't be this.
You take, for example, an alcohol. Why is it that I have a question? Not a whole lot. When I think of other people. But why is it when anything important is that I don't drink?
Of course.
Like I don't drink tonight.
You've got to have some.
All of the audio we gathered from the White House Tapes project that we're playing today, along with text transcripts, are available as separate MP3 downloads through the Normal Schaefer Commission jump page and on our website at normalaudiostash.com. Keith Strupp, the founder of Normal, who testified before the commission, comments on those tapes now and the apparent level of sophistication demonstrated in the confines of the Oval Office, but not publicly, on the part of President Nixon.
Well, I think what Nixon demonstrated in some of those private conversations was that he understood the issue pretty well. And, you know, he was a lawyer, and he probably, if it had no political ramifications, would have been willing to go further. But he also demonstrated that he wasn't really interested in good policy. He was interested in making sure the commission's recommendation was not an embarrassment to he or his administration. His only concern seemed to be the potential political fallout, and he sure as hell did not want to be embarrassed by his own presidential commission. Now, in turn, he was somewhat embarrassed, I think, by it, but nonetheless, it's not accurate to suggest that Nixon didn't understand it or really thought marijuana was a terribly dangerous drug. It seems like he honestly was just being political.
In that final conversation we heard, there was a comparison to alcohol, and we heard this talk almost along the same lines as the message that the Safer Organization uses today, that alcohol is more dangerous than marijuana. It seemed that the president understood that as well at the time. I wondered if Keith was surprised by the early recognition of that fact.
Well, I think even back then, you had to have your head buried in the sand not to recognize the damage that alcohol was causing in our country and still does today. That doesn't suggest we should go back to alcohol prohibition, but it does reflect the reality. You know, almost all domestic violence is associated with alcohol. Most traffic accidents are a large percentage are impacted by alcohol use. There's just no doubt that alcohol causes an enormous amount of harm to our society. But, again, I think we learned in the 1920s that trying to prohibit it criminally was a mistake and caused more problems than the alcohol itself. So I guess what I came away convinced is that Richard Nixon understood why we really ought to be legalizing marijuana, but he was not about to allow that to happen on his watch. And that was simply a political calculation on his part.
Dr. Thomas Ungerleiter, Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at UCLA, was on the Schaefer Commission. He didn't find the political fallout and the White House reaction a surprise.
It wasn't much of a surprise, people, because a lot of the people who had public pronouncements privately would contact us and say, please excuse what we're saying in public. We are trying to support our current policy, and so we privately may agree with you, but publicly we can't. And actually, what the biggest surprise that I had just occurred several years ago when they took and declassified some of the things that President Nixon was saying about us. And, for example, 1 month after we were appointed, before we even began, he was talking to some of his chiefs, talking pretty negative things about all the people investigating this. But then we knew, you see, this was a national commission on marijuana and drug abuse. It was not a presidential commission. So here was the Congress mandating this commission, and the reluctant president, had to appoint people from both political parties. So we were really, his cards were stacked against us no matter what we found.
So, how did the public view marijuana reform and the Schaefer Commission report at the time of the release? I asked Chicago Tribune columnist and political commentator Clarence Page.
There was hope, you know, and I think, you know, trying to think back, that guy's been 30 years or more, but, you know, I think about how there wasn't... Already things were starting to change. We started to see some decriminalization occur, but it was a hot-button political issue at the time. And the Schaefer Commission, we must remember, followed decades of different government studies, some of them weighted against, some of them not scientific, and just weighted against, you know, early on to try to really generate some anti-marijuana fervor. That was back at the time when alcoholic beverages were being legalized. Prohibition was ending, and there were folks in the federal government looking for something to do, I guess. But, you know, when the Schaefer Commission came along, it was a breakthrough in terms of clear evidence that marijuana legalization was thinkable. Just thinkable, you know, that you could talk about this seriously. Until then, you know, it was talk of decriminalization, and local areas had. Remember, marijuana was a felony I believe, in most states in the early 60s. I know in Ohio, where I was growing up, it was, and in Illinois and other places. It wasn't always treated as a felony. You know, the reality of the law was it was being treated more and more like a misdemeanor or even something to be ignored. But on the books, it was a very serious offense, and so the Schaefer Commission was a breakthrough in that regard. But remember also that there had been this was the tail end of the 60s, the beginning of the 70s, where people were waiting for, you know, they thought this breakthrough and that breakthrough was going to get us out of Vietnam, right? Or this breakthrough or that breakthrough was going to end poverty in America. It was a time of high ideals meeting brutal realities. I'm thinking about how, I guess it was in 1970 when John Lennon played that concert free an activist in Michigan he was a political activist, and he had been arrested and sentenced for selling two marijuana cigarettes, two joints, to an undercover cop. And he was sentenced to something like 11 years in jail. It was an enormous sentence. And John Lennon and others, Bob Seger and MC5, other rockers of that time, played this concert as a benefit for him, and he miraculously was released a few days later. It was like national news. But that's the kind of way marijuana laws were used back then. And I can't recall when they've been used in such an explicitly political fashion in recent years, but that was the kind of era we were in. So the Schaefer Commission was a breakthrough in that regard, and as you know, it was totally ignored by the president who commissioned them.
That was Chicago Tribune columnist Clarence Page. The consequences of ignoring the Schaefer Commission's recommendations are deep and painful to American society. Let's go back to Paul Armentano's editorial today. Consider this. Since the Schaefer Commission issued its recommendations, approximately 16.5 million Americans have been arrested for marijuana violations, more than 80% of them on minor possession charges. U.S. taxpayers have spent well over $20 billion enforcing criminal marijuana laws. Yet marijuana availability and use among the public remains virtually unchanged. Nearly 250,000 Americans have been denied federal financial aid for secondary education because of anti-drug provisions in the Higher Education Act. Most of those applicants were convicted of minor marijuana possession offenses. Total U.S. marijuana arrests increased 165% during the 1990s, from 287,850 in 1991 to well over 700,000 in the year 2000, before reaching an all-time high of nearly 800,000 in 2005. However, according to the government's own data, this dramatic increase in the number of persons arrested for pot was not associated with any reduction in the number of new users, any reduction in marijuana potency, or any increases in the black market price of marijuana. And currently, 1 in 8 inmates incarcerated for drug crimes is behind bars for pot, at a cost to taxpayers of more than $1 billion per year. Perhaps most troubling, the factor most likely to determine whether or not these citizens serve jail time or not isn't the severity of their quote-unquote crime, but rather where they live. Today, there are growing regional disparities in marijuana penalties and marijuana law enforcement, ranging from no penalty in Alaska to potential life in prison in Oklahoma. In fact, if one were to drive from Portland, Maine to Portland, Oregon, he or she would traverse more than a dozen jurisdictions, all with varying degrees of penalties and/or tolerance towards the possession and use of pot. Does this sound like a successful national policy? There is another approach, of course. The Schaefer Commission showed the way more than 3 decades ago. Marijuana isn't a harmless substance, and those who argue for a change in the drug's legal status don't claim it to be. However, as noted by the commission, pot's relative risks to the user and society are arguably fewer than those of alcohol and tobacco, and they do not warrant the expenses associated with targeting, arresting, and prosecuting hundreds of thousands of Americans every year. That was from Normal's senior policy analyst Paul Armentano in an editorial today. So, how do the recommendations of the Schaefer Commission hold up today? What do Americans think about decriminalizing marijuana right now? Well, we can tell you. Normal conducted a poll this February to look at that very question. Joining us to discuss the poll is Alan St. Pierre, Normal's executive director. So first, Alan, tell us about this Zogby poll and how it was conducted.
Well, back in February, we commissioned Zogby to do a poll for us, a group we've used many times in the past, and we asked this very question. 35 years ago, the National Commission on Marijuana and Drug Abuse recommended removing criminal penalties for the personal use of marijuana by adults. Do you support or oppose a law in Congress that would eliminate federal penalties for the personal use of marijuana by adults and allow states to adopt their own marijuana policies? And so the results of that question to over 1,000 American voters was an amazing split right down the middle in this country, which in some ways was not too surprising. 49% of Americans support decriminalizing marijuana at the federal level and allowing states to set their own policies, and 48% oppose. So for the first time in our 36 years of polling, this is the first time that a majority of Americans would like to see something one could describe as progressive on the topic of marijuana that is not related to the medicinal use of marijuana.
Now, I know Zogby looks at their polling data sort of to the nth degree. What was the political split here?
Well, it does break down kind of interestingly along some party lines. In the end, Democrats, 51% of them supported the proposal. Independents, 62%. But kind of ironic in my mind is that when it comes to Republicans, only 37% support the notion, if you will, of states' rights for medical, for marijuana, for decriminalizing it. So a party that has very much wrapped itself up in the notion of states' rights and allowing states to be the laboratories of democracy and that the states know more than the dumb old beltway federal government, I think it's kind of ironic that by almost 15 to 20 percentage points, Democrats and independents support this notion of states' rights more than Republicans. Apparently, there's always the great marijuana exception to the logic of conservatives.
And how about that split between men and women?
Well, this is a definite and important split. In fact, in my observations from this particular poll, one of the more salient topics would be the split between men and women. 57% of men supported the notion, and only 41% of women. And that is a huge split between the two. And by the way, we have always seen a disparity both in the use of marijuana and those who support changing the laws between men and women. There always has been a slight, maybe 5-8% difference, but we rarely see it get into double digits as high as this.
And Alan, this poll shows strong support. Is that something that's gone up over the years towards decriminalization?
Yes, good question. In fact, there is a terrific rising tide of support for marijuana. In fact, it's an 80% increase since 1992. The traditional support level since 1967 in Gallup polls, later Normal polls, Zogby polls, it is indicated up until about the early 90s that about 1 in 5, 20% of Americans support the notion straight up of legalizing marijuana. Those numbers have risen precipitously in just 14 years to now a national average of 36% of Americans believe that marijuana should just be straight up legalized and put on the shelf with alcohol and tobacco products. And if one remembers the vote totals in Nevada, it has crept up from 39% to nearly 44% in one particular state. So it's the graying of the baby boom generation, I think certainly the blowback from 70 years of prohibition, and as biased as I may be on this subject matter, the self-evident failure, the abject failure of cannabis prohibition after 70 years is pretty self-evident to many Americans. The moral and social dissonance around marijuana is so high in this country that government is not at all achieving its goals in trying to stop people from using it, from the country growing it, from it being imported into the country. For one of the most important reasons we're told from the federal government why we keep marijuana illegal is so that children fear it and that children don't have access to it and that children wouldn't use it. Unfortunately, the data is pretty clear. Children do have access to it, and in many data sets, it's clear that the children admit to having more access to untaxed, unregulated marijuana than they do taxed and regulated substances like alcohol, tobacco, and pharmaceutical products.
That was Normal's Executive Director, Alan St. Pierre, discussing the new Zogby poll. You can view more information about that new poll on Normal's website today at norml.org. So what about a new national commission on marijuana? Something to give the American public a fresh look at the topic now that there is a mountain of scientific research about marijuana and its component cannabinoids. Not to mention the fact that there are a greater number of Americans right now who've tried marijuana at some point in their lifetime than ever before. So should we try and get a new national commission? Here's Normal's Keith Straub.
Well, that's not a bad strategy. You know, on one level, you hate to go and waste another couple of years and redo something that's been done 35 years ago. But the reality is, this is an issue that's difficult for people to deal with, and especially for our elected officials. And if by kind of putting things on hold for a couple of years, if we could get Congress to create another serious commission to take a look at this, I'm absolutely convinced that at the end of that year or two-year period, the report would read very much the way this one read. It might even go further and recommend a legally regulated market. And I believe this time we could probably get our policymakers to move forward, because today most people have a much more realistic understanding of marijuana and the safety level of marijuana. Most people have friends that smoke marijuana, or some of their family members, or maybe they do themselves. That wasn't necessarily the case back in the 1970s. So, yes, I think this could serve, this anniversary, frankly, could serve as an occasion for us to decide to call on Congress to create a new marijuana commission, and then this time, let's take their recommendations seriously and implement them into state and federal law.
Dr. Thomas Ungerleiter, who sat on the original Schaefer Commission, also mentioned that he thought it might be a good idea for the country to have a new national commission on marijuana.
Well, ideally we should be, but there's so much concern and moving of our resources into the war and people being concerned about that, it's really hard to get totally behind some other of these domestic changes that we need. I would certainly hope that this would be changed in the next couple of years, but it's hard to predict.
Alan St. Pierre also noted that taking a fresh look could move the issue forward.
Yes, absolutely. As much as, I mean, a lot of folks could be frustrated and think of this as just bizarre incrementalism to have yet another commission that, I'm not a betting person, I try not to play soothsayer here in Washington, but very likely the commission would opine the same that it did 35 years ago and recognize that marijuana certainly should be decriminalized for adult responsible use. There's seemingly no question there in the American mind, and the data 35 years after the Schaefer Commission's recommendations would strongly support such. So it would appear that they would probably opine the same way. The question is, would we then have the political leadership that would take it, as often is the case, by the way, when commissions are created, when the adversarial process of the legislative process in our country falls apart. It's acknowledged that it's just too complicated, it's too partisan a topic, and so what do we do? The executive branch or legislative branch often puts together a blue ribbon commission of all kinds of stakeholders and all kinds of recognized experts that everybody accepts as being legitimate. They then meet for a few months, a year. They then put together a large report, and thankfully, under most circumstances, the body that asked for the report follows the recommendations of the blue ribbon panel. This, of course, is one of the great aberrations in this, as often is the case with anything having to do with marijuana and the federal government. We have, as you well know, you can listen to Richard Nixon's reaction on the tapes when told that the Schaefer Commission is going to recommend decriminalizing it. He's essentially saying it is DOA, dead on arrival. I'm not going to do anything with that. Now, thankfully, Keith Stropp and others who were running Normal in the 1970s took this 5,500-page report and took it like a writ and went to 50 different states, because we live in the United States of America, and the states do have great autonomy and great latitude to amend their drug laws. And so thankfully today, one-third of the U.S. population, 100 million people, live in a state or municipality where marijuana is decriminalized, and about one-fifth of the nation lives in a state where marijuana has been, if you will, medicalized. So the importance of the Schaefer Commission can hardly be understated today, how important it was that it changed the law at the state level. Yes, the federal government failed to implement it. Now, 5 years after the fact, President Carter took the Schaefer Commission, and he ran his presidency campaign as one of the platforms to decriminalize marijuana, and simply just read rhyme and verse right out of the Schaefer Commission. August 3rd, 1977, he says marijuana should be decriminalized based on the recommendations from the Schaefer Commission. And unfortunately, it's the election of Ronald Reagan in 1980 that stops entirely that effort to decriminalize marijuana. And since 1980, there has been no viable marijuana decriminalization effort in Congress until, I hope, this year, 2007.
We'll conclude our Part 2 special on the Schaefer Commission report of March 22, 1972, with this final portion of Paul Armentano's editorial today. According to federal statistics, about 94 million Americans, that's 40% of the U.S. population age 12 or older, self-identify as having used cannabis at some point in their lives, and relatively few acknowledge having suffered significant deleterious health effects due to their use. America's public policies should reflect this reality, not deny it. It makes no sense to continue to treat nearly half of all Americans as criminals. You can read Paul's full editorial today on Normal's website at norml.org. We have links to it on our homepage today at normalaudiostash.com. Normal has created a special jump page, and we have lots of information up at normalaudiostash.com. Check out all of the links so that you can listen to the individual Nixon White House tapes, read the transcripts, and also hear the full interviews with everyone involved. Just visit our website today at normalaudiostash.com. I want to thank Alan St. Pierre, Keith Strupp, Paul Armentano, Dr. Tom Ungerleiner, Clarence Page, and the Presidential Recordings Project at the Miller Center for Public Affairs at the University of Virginia at WhiteHouseTapes.org for contributions to our audio specials regarding the Schaefer Commission. You can listen to the full show from yesterday and today. We have those MP3 links available at normalaudio-.com. Consider becoming a member of Normal or making a donation today. We make sure that you have the best marijuana information right here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Just visit norml.org to get involved. Thanks for listening today. Tomorrow on Friday's Audio Stash, we'll hear from Steve Bloom at celebstoner.com, and we'll also hear more about this Zogby poll. Thanks for listening today. See you at 4:20 tomorrow.
A thousand million years ago, nature said, let it grow, grow more weed. I've got no race problem, I've got no age problem, I've got no problems when I'm stoned, so I'll grow more weed. Nothing more than prohibition. Lives are being shattered in a drug war of attrition.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Stropp, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at Normal, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.